We're going to talk about tonight, fighting for your family. We're going to talk about family secrets. Now, we've been talking about a few of the family secrets, the things that are in the realm of the spirit that you, as a husband, a wife, a child, someone can do to help bring a change about in your family. Now, this is looking at the family through an entirely spiritual manner. And so I pray that you understand that. This is not teaching on getting along, or it's not teaching on communication skills, but this is looking into the realm of what God can do miraculously to help my family. And so we're going to go ahead and get into them. We've talked about family secret number one is forgiveness. And so we've talked about forgiveness for some time. And just John 20, 23, always remember, this fits my family too. It said, whosoever sins ye forgive, they are forgiven unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. And just know, you have the power of releasing that mate. You can hold grudges. You can get mad. You can get upset. Or you can release them. You can release them. And I tell you what, it's a lot better to live with a released mate than a captive mate. If you're holding grudges, things are going to get hard and tough. Because that's a struggle that's under judgment. What that is, that puts the whole family under this judgment. God never meant that to operate. That's Old Testament living. When you have a New Testament freedom that God can bring into your life. And so when you see a mate that does something and that displeases you, just be quick to forgive. Everybody say quick to forgive. 1 John 5:16 said, if you see a Christian brother or sister, if you see them sinning, you're to pray for the Lord to forgive them. That's a good practice to do, especially for mates, not only for brothers and sisters, but your brother and sister that you live with. And to release them there also. It's better to release them and allow God to deal with them. As long as they're under your judgment, God's not going to deal with them. God's not going to work things out for you. You've got to release them. You've got to release them into the hands of the Lord. When you forgive them and release them and place them in God's hands and pray for God to forgive them, then the Lord, in response to your prayer, is obligated. He works in that issue to bring them to a place of forgiveness and repentance. Really, happy marriage, just a union of two good forgivers. And so we want you to know that. And the only way you can really do that is through the Word. You've got to, because there will be moments where you think that you're being taken advantage of. And there will be those moments where you feel like that, man, they just really need to back up and understand. But it's because of the Word. And when you can't forgive for any other reason, you forgive because Jesus has forgiven you. If you can't muster up enough love to bring forth the forgiveness for the mate, then you say, Jesus, I love you enough. Because in the midst of hot tempers, so many things can go wrong. And what you need to do is diffuse that thing right away. And a lot of times that we can come up with struggles over the children. But you got to know, you need to go ahead and put it into forgiveness. Because whether you're going, the whole family gets bound down under this judgment when you hold grudges against each other. So release. Everybody say release. All right, the powerful key number two, the secret key number two is the power of words. And I just simply told you before, stop damaging words. Just make a decision. I'm going to start damning with my words. I'm going to stop damning my family with my words. I'm going to not use my words. Now, that's hard to do because, man, you know, especially if you're married to a spewer or a, you know, whatever it is, it's hard to do. But we have the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not like the families of the world. I'm not trying to get my marriage fixed by watching Oprah. I'm not trying to get my marriage fixed by watching Dr. Phil. You understand? We have a higher source. Everybody say, we got a higher source. We got a higher source that works for us. And that's through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so if we will walk in a manner whereby the Holy Spirit can use us as a channel into that family, then God can do some beautiful things. Amen. All right, let's just look at some words. All right, Job chapter 19, verse 2 says, how long will you torment my soul and break me in pieces with words? That's what we do. We break each other apart. And if husbands, wives are not breaking one another apart, then a lot of times they're breaking children apart. There just needs to be a hold on words. Amen. All right, Matthew 12:36, and I tell you, you must give account on judgment day for every idle word, for every word that you speak, even those words you think are not important, God says. Those idle, non-producing words that you feel like there's not. God says they're really producing because I'm seeing that. God releases power through words. That's why God holds words as something that has to be delicate. It has to be held as delicate before Him. Because that's what He chooses to use, is words releasing into a family. The Bible says a good man out of the good treasure of his heart, what do? Bring forth good things. And then, but an evil man out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so if there is hard words, bad words, condemning words, damning words that's coming out of your mouth, that's, something's wrong in the heart. You just got to know something's wrong there in the heart. And you serve the heart fixer. You serve the heart fixer, the heart healer. You serve the one. Something's gone wrong there. Something's wrong. There's an issue. I'm not saying your whole heart is damaged, but there's an issue of damage there. If you're speaking words, because the Word of God is true, isn't it? And the Word of God said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if I'm bringing forth bad things out my mouth, then it's coming out an overflow of my heart. Amen. So it's what you're speaking in abundance. You know, a lot of people just say, I'm going to be real. Well, real is the way of the world. You know that, don't you? You say, I got to be real. Well, real is the way of the world. That's what realistic, that's what they call themselves. And that's not you. You're a spiritual creature. And you realize that certain things you hold is fragile. And words is something that you hold as fragile. All right, truth. I must take responsibility for every negative word. I've got to do that. If I'm going to see God grow in my life, I'm going to see myself grow. If I'm going to see God do something wonderful in my family, I'm going to have to begin to take responsibility for every negative word that I spoke. That negative word won't just fall into oblivion. It won't. It's got to be dealt with. If we have spoken words that we should not have spoken out our mouth, I mean, just because nobody didn't call your attention to it, I guarantee you the Holy Spirit did. And the Holy Spirit would have tapped you on the shoulder and let you know those words are working. They're producing. Even if they didn't cause a fight, even if they didn't cause a struggle, even if she didn't leave you because of it, still yet those words are working. They're behind the scenes all the time, tearing down or either building up your family. All the time. Amen. Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. What a man sows, he shall also reap. So God's not going to be found untruthful. His word is true. It said, for he who sows to his flesh, or what my flesh wants to say, what my anger wants to say, what my frustration wants to say, what my rejection wants to say, if I begin to say those things, the Bible says I'm going to reap corruption. But if I will begin to sow to the Spirit, that if I'll begin to sow in the Spirit, that I will begin to reap an eternal destiny, eternal purposes, eternal things in my life. Amen? All right, how can I take responsibility for my words? Well, Jesus taught us to take responsibility for unfruitful things in our life. That we have a power and authority. If I'm trying to flow in the Holy Spirit in my family, then there is an authority that I have been given to operate spiritual truths and spiritual principles. Amen. And we tend to forget that. We tend to remember spiritual principles when we're praying for the missionaries during prayer meeting. But it's like we forget those in the heat of the moment at home. But those spiritual, in fact, the Bible says that becomes the preparation place for ministry. If I'm not using spiritual principles in my home, the Bible says I have no right having any form of leadership in his church. Because at home is to be my training ground. I'm to use a spiritual principle. So how can I begin to take authority from my words? Well, Jesus and his disciples found that as he taught them beautifully one day about how to have the faith of God. They were walking along and they came upon a fig tree that was unfruitful. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that when I begin to say hateful words, that those things are not going to produce good things. It doesn't take a rocket scientist for me to know that. And so when I began to see that these things are unfruitful, then I must take the next step. Jesus taught us what to do. When you see things that you begin to curse that thing that's unfruitful, you have the power to do that. You have the power to bless with your mouth, which you should. What happens is this. We curse the wrong things and bless the wrong things. Instead of flipping that thing around, we should be blessing our family and cursing the works of darkness. Amen. And when you curse something, that means you're bringing death to it. So take responsibility for the words that you say. That when you speak words that you know that's going to produce the wrong things in your family, that's not motivated by the Spirit. Somebody said, well, I just want them to understand. Well, listen, the understanding is one level. But being a spiritual understanding is a totally another level. And so it's just important that you take the responsibility and you begin to curse it. Just Jesus cursed the fig tree. And then Jesus said, this is the way you have the God kind of faith. He said, when you begin to curse that which is unfruitful, when you begin to make a decision and a difference between what needs to be blessed and what needs to be cursed, then the Lord said, you're moving into God's kind of faith arena. All right, now, where do words start at? Why did Stephen teach you this morning? Where is the beginning of words? Where do they start at? But let me tell you what, it is important the words you say, but words do not start there. In fact, words start in your thoughts. That's where the real control is going to be over the words that you speak. If you're going to conquer words, you're going to have to conquer thoughts. I call somebody a hypocrite if they're saying something to me they're not really thinking. If somebody comes up to me, just like Elaine, I've called, no, that's not right. But how many times if people walk out, how many times you've seen somebody come up and they just smile and they say, oh, brother, and you know that's not what they're thinking. Right? And you know that their words have meant nothing to you. They're completely powerless. Because out of your thoughts, out of that place. In fact, in the book of Romans in chapter 8 and verse 5, it says they were obligated as being a spiritual people. They were obligated not to think thoughts of the flesh or not to think natural thoughts. We're obligated to think spiritual thoughts. That's what Romans 8 obligates us to do. We're obligated to think spiritual thoughts. And then the next verse, verse 6, it says it this way. It says, if you refuse and think thoughts in the natural, it says it's going to produce death. That's what it says. And that's exactly in marriages and lives and families. That when you allow yourself to go around thinking hard thoughts, see, so many times we think, well, we're hid. You're not hid from God. God hears that. And I wonder at times if words thought or if words spoken, what difference it is with God. I think he hears them both. The things that are important for speaking words is this. It brings heaven to earth. See, God puts into our heart, and then when we speak it out into earth, it becomes God's channel into earth. That's heaven coming to earth through your words. But now, what does God hear? See, God hears the words you think. And it's just so important that we understand that we're held responsible, in a family especially, we're held responsible for what we think. Now, if you're a pouter, you think a lot and say a little. If you're a pouter, and when the conflict is in that family, you're thinking a whole lot. And you think because you're not speaking it out, it goes unnoticed. Now, I guarantee you it goes noticed. It goes noticed by heaven. See, because it's impossible to love without thinking, without fighting for thoughts of love. It's impossible. Because that same verse I told you in Romans chapter 8 says this. It said, if you think the thoughts of the Spirit, it becomes life and peace. You know what that says? That says it releases a control. The reason most people fight is because they have this sense of fear that they're losing control. And their thing is going to spin out of control. And they're afraid of losing it. That's, then we escalate into that secondary emotion, that emotion of anger. See? It all comes down to that basic thing that we're afraid we're losing control. See? But the Bible says that if I will think thoughts of the Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 8, verse 6, if I will think thoughts of the Holy Spirit, it said it will bring life. It will bring a control. It will bring God's eternity back into my being. It will bring a sense of strength, a sense of, we got this thing taken care of, honey. We can handle this. We can walk with this. We can do this. But the next thing it does, the Bible says, it brings life and peace. Your thoughts release you emotionally. That's why it's impossible to love somebody without controlling your thoughts of love about them. Now, somebody says, I'm fooling them. No, you're not fooling them. A person can literally tell when you're loving and you're not loving. You know? And somebody says, well, I'll fake it. No. Love is something you can't fake. You understand? It's too powerful. No more than you can fake faith. You can't fake faith. You can't fake hope. The three great power principles of the kingdom of God is faith, hope, and love. Those things can't be faked. They have to be built into your life on a continual basis. And so the way you release love into your marriage is you determine all the way back, I'm going to think thoughts of love. Now, as long as you think mad thoughts, what are you going to be? As long as you think angry thoughts, what are you going to be? As long as you think pity thoughts, what are you going to be? Sure. We've been down that road, haven't we? We've paddled that canoe enough. Right? And that's what the Bible says. So if I'm going to think thoughts of the Spirit. And so the next time that you're in the heat of an argument, you may just stop and say, Holy Spirit, what do you think about her? Holy Spirit, what do you think about him? See, because if you think the thoughts of the Holy Spirit, is what it said. If you think the thoughts of the Holy Spirit, it releases into your life, into that marriage. It releases life and peace. And I tell you, peace is a tremendous emotion. It's a tremendous feeling. Peace is probably one of the greatest feelings besides love that a person can feel. Peace will allow a family to walk through the hardest storm and they'll sail right through. Peace is what, when everything seems to be falling apart, you'll come in with a big smile on your face because there's peace in your heart. Do you know also what peace will do? The Bible says the God of peace. When you have peace, when you have peace in your life, it makes an open door, an entrance for God to step into your life. That's why he's called the God of peace. He goes where there's peace. See, he's the Prince of peace. So he rules in the kingdom of peace. See, so when you have peace, then God is able to step in. You know what happens when he steps in there? He said, the God of peace shall soon crush Satan under your feet. Can you say amen? So the way you have peace in a family is you give yourself, making yourself, it's a battle because see, your flesh or the natural part of you is going to fight against that. You say, they'll never learn. She'll never learn. She'll never get it. She'll never get this understanding. She'll always treat me like this. See? That's the world. And that's your flesh. But when you come to a place where your dependency is on God, and you're trusting the principles of God more than you're trusting any manipulating things that you can do, when you get to that point, then God's got a place where he can release his peace. Amen? Or is it impossible to love without fighting? And then the next thing is, it's impossible to have a hard love without fighting for thoughts of love. If you're refusing to fight for thoughts of love, it's impossible. It's absolutely impossible to have feelings of love in you. Because your feelings are directly connected to the thoughts that you think. I mean, that's proven many, many times. How many times have you heard that somebody said something about you? And what did you immediately feel about that person? And then how many of you have then, like me, so many times found out they didn't really say that? Then how did you feel? Like a heel, you know? Right? Right? It's impossible to have a hard love without fighting for thoughts of love. Next truth. It's impossible to feel love without fighting for thoughts of love. It's impossible to feel love without fighting. And like I said, love is something that cannot be forced. It cannot be faked. It has to be originated out of your thought life. Have you ever wondered how that people in the Bible, how they didn't have love at first sight? How that they lived such long, happy lives? And they were, what do you call it when they were married, parents assigned it? What's that word I'm looking for? Arranged. Arranged marriages would turn out so happy. I tried to arrange every one of my kids' marriage. I was successful with part of them, with all of them. Do you ever wonder how people loved? You know how they did? Because they respected that arranged marriage came out of the Jewish religion. They were respected God's word so much. And see, the word commands us to love. Love is not based on the feeling first. It was a command of love. And if you will start thinking loving thoughts for somebody, it won't be long where you're going to have loving feelings for them. But as long as you think angry thoughts about them, you can't stop that flood of anger. You can't stop that feeling. What you can do is to repent and ask God to forgive you and ask the Lord to forgive you for being so childish and being so tied to the world and so controlled by the enemy that you would not obey the word of God. Is that tough or rough? All right. Turn the battle at the gate. We have the power to turn the battle at the gate. We have the power to turn it at the thought gate. Where you turn the battle for good in your family is at the thought gate. That's the place that is turned. At the very place that you allow the enemy to implant thoughts. And you know, I tell you, you can tell readily in a community, in a church, who controls their thoughts. You don't have to work beside them long enough. You don't have to be in enough praise sessions with them. You don't have to be in enough Easter services. You don't have to be in enough children's programs to where you can literally see who controls their thoughts. Because if you don't learn to take control of your thought life to produce life for the rest of you, if you don't do that, you can't hide who you are forever. You understand? It will come out. It shocks me. Especially when it's me. It always shocks me. See, we use it. The male ego says, I use my explosions to prove my manhood. Well, really, the next time that you ladies need to get a pacifier at your house and just show us our manhood by putting the pacifier in our mouth. Because it's exactly opposite of that. When we get angry, it is a show to the world that we're afraid. That we have fear. You're going to get out from under our thumb, and we don't like that. You're going to spend more money than I want you to spend. You're going to do something that I don't want you to do. So what it does, it moves me into fear. And when it moves me into fear, my secondary emotion will probably be anger. Because anger is trying to take back my control. Isn't that right? All right, praise God. All right, turn it at the thought gate. All right. Boy, slow process. All right, use your authority that God's given to you. Use that authority. Turn your thought life around. Everybody say, turn my thought life around. With the authority that God's given to me. You are not powerless any longer. There was a time that you were totally powerless. You couldn't change things in you. You had no power to do that. You're not powerless any longer. You now have the power of the Holy Spirit that's in you, residing in you. The same power that brought Jesus out of that grave is the same power that's inside you to change you. The same power. So we're not powerless any longer. Amen. You know, a lot of ladies say, well, you know, I just feel so powerless. Well, honey, you're trying to resort to the wrong type of powerless usually. You got to realize you have a power in the Holy Ghost that God can use the power through you to turn things around. Amen. All right. The truth, the power of good words. Everybody say the power of good words. All right. Now, what will happen if I begin to plant something that will never fail? I have the power to do that in a relationship, in a marriage. God says I can plant something that will never fail. Amen. Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, what that is love. It said love never fails. It's a spiritual principle that God wants me to use in the times that seem like tempers are the hottest. At those moments, God says, speak a word of love. And if you will, it will never fail. Now, at those moments, if we're out of control, if we hadn't controlled our thought life up until that point, then we won't be able to. But speak words of love. Speak words of hope. Amen. Everybody say only. Now, the powerful principle of hope is so powerful. Unless you're speaking words of hope, thinking words of hope, hope is what holds you steady while faith is working. You got to know, hope is that thing that anchors your soul. It anchors your mind. There should never be a moment to where you could say or think that God's not working in this family. Things may not be right today, but there should never be a moment that you've lost hope over that family. You should rise up in any situation. What you should always be able to say is speak words of hope. I know God is working this out. Honey, if you don't know the answer, if you don't know how to solve it, if you don't know how to tone her down, if you don't know how to tone him up, if you don't know how to do those things, the thing that you can always give is a word of hope. I know God is working this out. And see, if you will allow the confession of your faith to continue that, I know God's working this out. I know God's working this out. What that does, that provides a nest for the faith to be birthed into. There come a moment if you're holding your family up in hope. I know God's working this out. I know God is working this marriage out. I know God's overcoming my life. I know God's helping me over with my temper. I know God. See, that's hope being released. And the Bible says, if I will begin to release that hope, always, everybody say always, never be hopeless. Hopelessness will cause you to stop before the victory gets there. That's what the devil is trying to make you feel so hopeless. Because if he can get you to stop, if he can get you to draw aside, honey, if he can get you to pull over and on the side of the road and stop, then he's got you. He's keeping from allowing God to ever work in your family. Never be hopeless. Honey, when it seems like they're all going to hell, you be the one that rises up and say, I know God is working out things in my family. I know God is in control. I know God is working a miracle. Amen. Never let any other words come out your mouth. You have the power to plant those words. You plant hope. You're surrounded by hope. In the midst of hope, then God comes in with a word of faith. Amen. And God says, do this, and you obey that word of faith that God spoke to you, and it turns the whole mess around for the glory of God. Amen. Everybody say, but the word of hope. So we speak words of hope. We speak words of faith, amen? And we speak it into our situation, into our marriages, and into our families. All right, then, we speak words of faith. Faith is that I know, I know, I know, I know. I mean, to be able to look at a problem, a family that's going through a problem, and to be able to look at them and say, you know what, I know God. I know God's going to work this out. I know God is going to do this. I know this. All right, now, Romans chapter 4, verse 20 says, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, he grew stronger, or his faith grew stronger. The worst thing got, Abraham's faith grew stronger. The reason it's called the word of faith, or because he is listed as the father of faith, the worse things look, the stronger his faith got. Now you've got all these levels. We usually get all these levels that we measure our family on. We say, well, when it goes to here, okay, God's working, moves there. But when it begins to drop down the ladder, and we get to a point where we say, you know, we get into a place to almost of no hope. You got to understand, faith is at work in your life, and the worse thing looks, the more faith wants to shine. I don't know what kind of baby cereals you've been eating, but God puts us into a diet that makes strength inside of us. And when the going gets tough, the tough get going. You understand what I'm telling you? There comes a moment when things are looking bad, when things are looking tough, but you understand. God has prepared me for this. God has prepared me for this hour. God has prepared me for this moment. I'm not left without defense. God has helped for me. Amen? All right. So the Bible says that Abraham, all right, then in Romans 4 and 21, it said he was fully convinced that God is able. The reason we give up on our families is because we're no longer convinced. We're just no longer convinced that God's going to work this thing out. And we've just lost hope and lost faith. You've got to understand that God expects somebody to believe. Unless there's somebody in that family that's going to believe, God can't come through. That's why God is dealing with your heart so much. That's why God is asking you to be his point man, to be the person that will believe, be the person that trusts. Because if everybody gives up on that family does not have a hope. If that family, if we lose our faith over that family, and you've got to realize God's put you in that family, and it's not to check out of it and find another one later on down the road. God's put you in that family, and God wants you to not give up until God is able to bring that family to the place that God's called it to be. You've got to get tough, and you've got to get strong. You've got to be able to allow things to be said to you that are hard, and you've got to keep loving. You've got to be able to pull down those thoughts that the devil tries to put in your mind about your family, about your mates. You've got to be able to pull those things down and replace them with thoughts of love and passion and compassion and love where God can flow through it. Can you say amen? So God's expectancy. All right, we speak words of power. And I'll tell you what, words of authority, words of power, we fail so many times to understand how much power that we have. Now, where do we speak these words? The most important place that you could ever speak these words is not even out in public, although that needs to be done. The most important place that you could ever speak these words as a man, the most important place you can speak these words is when you're in your prayer closet with God. When you're in your prayer closet with God, the Bible says that's the same place that Jesus changes his wife. We are the bride of Christ. Jesus walks into his prayer closet, and there he makes intercession for us. He takes the word of God. He washes us. He changes us with that word. The most important place for you to speak words of faith and words of hope is when you go before God. Now, if you're a people pleaser, that's going to be the very place that you don't speak them. You're going to complain to God, and you're going to complain over her, complain over him. When you walk in before the throne of God is the very place that you need to speak the strongest faith words and the strongest words of hope that you have for the glory of God. The Bible says that as a man, that is the man's strength. The man has a power in prayer, that a woman has a power in prayer, but that's not her strongest place. Not in accordance with Ephesians chapter 5, what it says, that a man's strongest place that he has, a place of prayer. Now, you may be letting that little woman do all your praying, but I'm going to tell you, shame on you. If you're a man, you have the power flow of prayer. You have the ability God has puts inside the man, the strength of God to turn any situation around in the point of prayer. Now, not so with woman, although certainly women are strong in prayer. But in the book of Peter, we find that a woman's strength is more built in the life of faith that she lives out. The Bible says that that woman brings change into her situation as she speaks good things in her mind, as she speaks good things in her heart. As she does, she begins to live a life. The Bible even says, I love what it says there in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, without a word. It said, a woman has power without a word. Women, do you hear that? You got power without a word. You got power without a word. God honors your faith. You understand? Us men, we have to go in our prayer closet, and we have to raise our hands, we have to declare the kingdom of God, and we have to do all that. See, that's our power. But ladies, you have a power without even a word. God looks at your life of faith. God looks at your heart of faith. God looks at that woman that will not allow the enemy to infiltrate her mind. That she determines that my family is going to be the family that God's called it to be. I will not give up on this family. And the Bible says that that woman is able to release an aurora of faith around her that God responds to. And the Bible says she can bring change in that family without saying a word. Can you say amen? All the women. Oh, that was men. All the women. All right. The power of words. The power and ability. Well, let's stop there tonight. Praise God. Got 4 minutes. I'll tell you, God wants to do something supernatural in all of our families. And I believe God is just stirring up our hearts. Now, many of your hearts have been stirred up with problems. And that's the way it's. It's the way the enemy has tried to assault you. But God wants you to know there are answers. For every need for a miracle, there's a miracle for you. You're not without help. And you're not without hope. God can still turn that thing around for His glory. Do you hear what I'm telling you? If you will make a decision not to give up and not to give out, if you will make a decision to fight all hell, to fight all hell in your mind and fight all hell to speak the right words and to keep a heart of faith, God has a miracle for you. There is no circumstance that God cannot change. There is no person that God cannot change. There is no heart that God cannot turn around. There is no child that God still cannot reach. Amen? Amen? And as mother and daddies, that's the challenge that God's called us to do. To be a person that will be a supernatural person in the midst of our families. To be a supernatural person to begin to release by faith things into our families. Lord, I thank you for your power. Lord, I thank you that the very power and the grace of God is able to work in and over our lives. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you said that in times of weakness that we could simply ask for your grace. There's some here tonight that you're having a tremendous struggle with handling your words. A tremendous struggle. You say, Pastor, my biggest struggle is at handling my words. I'm going to believe for a grace of God upon you. I want to believe for the grace of God upon you. The Bible says, in the midst of our weakness, God will come. If you would just release your faith to believe and release your faith to receive, God has grace. And the power of that grace can give you the strength over those words. Then there's another group here tonight that your real battle is in those thoughts. Your thought life. The enemy has learned how to discourage you, depress you. He's learned how to turn it into sadness, frustration, all because of thoughts. But I believe the Holy Spirit sent me here tonight to remind you God wants control of your thought life. God's not satisfied with you trying to think your way out of this. God wants you to yield to the precious Holy Spirit and ask the Spirit of God to give you proper thoughts for the people that you need to in your life. I'm going to go ahead and just ask tonight. If you need desperately for the Holy Spirit to help you, to give you thoughts, there is such a huge battery of power that's available to all of us. The problem is, most of us have this huge battery called the Holy Spirit, and we've completely never found how to plug up to it. We're still trying to run our will, our self-will, trying to make ourselves do it better until we've grown tired. Do you know how to tell if you're doing it in the flesh? You stay tired. Oh, I'm not talking about tired like you go to the gym and you get tired. I'm talking about like you begin to get tired in life. You could get tired in that marriage. You get tired on that job. That's because you're trying to do it yourself. God wants to bring us to a place where we take these huge battery cables and we connect them to the Holy Spirit. And it becomes an ease of power in our life to bring about the changes that we need. Not relying on yourself. If you say, Holy Spirit, I need you. I need you to take charge of my thought life. I want you to simply stand. I don't want you to be a general, but if you know that's where you're having a major battle at now, Lord, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. Help me. Now I want you to take the most anointed hands you know, and that's yourself. You believe yourself and you won't believe anybody else. But the Lord uses those hands. In fact, the Bible says that you become His hands. We become His mouth. We become His feet. Why don't you take those hands, once you place them right there on your temple, if you would. Why don't you pray this prayer with me? Why don't you say, Holy Spirit, I come to yield my mind to you. I want the mind of Christ. I want you to renew the spirit of my mind. Holy Spirit, give me your thoughts. Cause the Word of God to be so alive inside me that, Lord, as I face issues with people, that you, Holy Spirit, that you will begin to immediately speak to me the thoughts that I need to think. Because your word says that one of your wonderful jobs in my life is to bring to remembrance what God is saying to me. So precious Holy Spirit, I release by faith the anointing of God to bring change in my thought life. Bring my thought life. As I surrender the right of it to you, I ask you, precious Holy Spirit, to do such a work in my mind, renewing the spirit of my mind, to think in the thoughts of God become not a hard issue. It becomes the way I respond to people. It becomes the way I respond to those that I love. It becomes the way that I respond to those that I'm having problems with. It becomes the way that I respond to those that I'm having issues with. And then it will give me life and peace in Jesus' name.